Next on Gospel of Life, we'll explore one of the weakest aspects of the abortion movement. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. One of the greatest weaknesses of the abortion industry is the difficulty it has recruiting abortionists. We're going to talk today about this problem with our Associate Director, Janet Marana, and our good friend and President and Founder of Life Dynamics, from which we tape these programs each week, Mark Crutcher. Mark, good to be with you.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Great. Janet? We've talked and worked over the years around the theme of this problem, of the inability or the difficulty that the abortion industry has recruiting and keeping abortionists. Summarize this problem for
us. Well, yeah, and, you know, years ago, it was not uncommon for a freestanding abortion clinic in the United States to have several abortionists on staff and in reserve, so if somebody went on vacation or somebody quit or whatever, they'd have people. Today, that's not the case. The vast majority of the abortion clinics that are left in this country, they're lucky if they have one abortionist on staff, and if he's gone, the place shuts down. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but just the sheer number of clinics that have shut down. As you know, when I started Life Dynamics in 1992, there were over 2,000 freestanding abortion clinics in the United States. Today, there are fewer than 740. So we've had a tremendous lowering in the number, and the number one reason that the abortion industry says that happens is because they can't hire staff. They're closing down profitable abortion clinics simply because they can't hire anybody. And the irony here is that it's choice that's killing them. Mm-hmm. They rely on choice. They say women have the right to choose to do abortions. What's killing them is the fact that doctors have the right to choose not to do them. And so that's what's, you know, it's a beautiful irony here.
Yes, it is.
And this problem, by the way, is being seen worldwide. It's not just in the United States, but there was an article recently in England where they're saying they're having the same exact problem.
Well, you know, when you think about it, a kid in college is aspiring to be a doctor. You don't hear them say, I think I want to be an abortionist. I mean, if they want to go off to medical school, maybe they're talking about, I might want to be a surgeon, or I might, you know, want to specialize in obstetrics.
Right.
But you don't hear them say, I want to be an abortionist. And therefore, I think the doctors that do abortions are probably not the top echelon of the medical field.
They're absolutely not. And as you know, we provide a lot of litigation support for women who've been killed or injured or sexually assaulted in abortions. And you inevitably find when you bring one of these suits and you start looking at the history of the abortionist, going into work at Planned Parenthood was not his life's goal. This is what he was relegated to when his medical practice went south. Most of them have a lot of malpractice problems, or they can't get malpractice insurance, or they were just bad doctors and couldn't get a practice going. And they wind up working at the abortion clinic. And that stigma is never going to go away. You know, it's like you could legalize prostitution. There'll always be a stigma on being a prostitute or a pimp or somebody involved in prostitution. That stigma will never go away. Right. And the same thing has been true of abortion, and you can find quotes out there from people who are today practicing abortionists who said, yeah, we're still the washouts and the losers and the moral degenerates of medicine. That's mm-hmm. the perception that people have. The stigma has never gone away, and it's never going to go away.
Yeah, that's right. Well, of course, many of these quotes are gathered into a little booklet you put together called Access. Tell us about that, and our viewers can certainly get that.
Yeah, I believe that we can end abortion in this country, even if we never make it illegal. We can end it just on the supply side by choking off the supply of people who are willing to work in these abortion clinics. And it is happening, as we discussed earlier. And even on the second-tier employees, the people below the abortionists, the counselors and the people that take intake forms and all those sort of things, the turnover rate in the abortion industry is astronomical. These people come in and they're gone. If you go to work in an abortion clinic in the United States and you're there 90 days, the chances are very good that you're the senior employee there. I wrote a book called Access, how we choke off the supply lines to the abortion industry. And we've got a lot of quotes in there. All the quotes in it are from people who are pro-aborts. We didn't use any pro-life quotes or whatever. They're all pro-abortion quotes, or people from the media, which is the same thing as pro-abort. But and they're talking about the fact that they can't recruit people, and the number one reason is simply the stigma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People don't want to destroy their medical career. And you know, the medical industry is a very image-conscious industry.
Yes.
And abortion just simply doesn't fit it. It doesn't mesh in there. I don't care what somebody's political position is on abortion. If you ask them what their view of abortionist is, you get a totally different answer. And you can find people who will tell you, yeah, I'm pro-choice on abortion. I think abortion ought to be legal and ought to be available to women. Oh, but I wouldn't do it. And I certainly look down on my nose on the people who do get involved in this. They're the washouts and the losers and the moral degenerates of the profession.
So if people want to get this booklet access, they can contact Life Dynamics?
Yes, contact Life Dynamics, and we'll be happy to send them one. Or they can go on our website at prolifeamerica.com and check that they want one. We'll send them one for free, or they can get it through you as well.
We can distribute it as well.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Now, what do you think organizations like NOW and NARAL and Planned Parenthood are doing? Because, I mean, if we know that there's a shortage, by our experience, they certainly must realize it. So what are they doing on their end to kind of, you know, because they're so proactive of keeping choice legal?
Well, we know, and I can't give a lot of details, but we know that there are people out there that work in the abortion lobby whose job is to recruit abortionists. They go and they have certain strategies that they pursue to try to recruit people to go to work in these abortion clinics. Because, again, these clinics are closing, and the number one reason they close is because they can't hire anybody. And so they know that their future, the future of freestanding abortion clinics in this country, is dependent upon their ability to hire staff. So they're out there recruiting. They're also going to medical schools and trying to recruit medical students in. They're going to medical schools and working deals with the people in the medical school to require that medical students do a rotation at the local Planned Parenthood. So what they're doing there is they'll bring in residents and medical students who do abortions on a rotating basis, and so they have a constant stream. Every semester you have new people that come in and out, so they never have a full-time abortionist for many, many years, but that doesn't matter as long as there's somebody there to do it. One of the most, in my view, obscene things that they're doing is they are actively pursuing legislation now that would allow non-physicians to do abortions. And some states already allow that to happen. This is really, to me, exposes one of the biggest lies that the abortion industry always told back in the 60s, before abortion was made legal, is that, oh, abortion needs to be done legally so that it can be done by physicians in clean environments and not by these people, that are doing them illegally and may have no medical training at all.
Well, they always point back to the back alleys and the coat hangers, and that's their mantra. They call on that.
Of course, they knew they were lying at the time, because there were statistics, studies done even from as early as the 1920s that showed that the vast majority of illegal abortions were done by physicians who were simply breaking the law. But anyway, let's take them at their word and say that that's what they were wanting back then, was to legalize abortion so it would always be done by physicians. Now they're coming along and saying, because we can't hire enough physicians, we're going to let non-physicians do it, PAs and et cetera, physician assistants and nurses and whoever else we might train. They're talking about having an actual specialty in abortion by someone who's not a physician. They're just an abortionist, basically. And I think we could wind up with a situation, if this is allowed to continue, where the irony here is, given that we know for a fact that most illegal abortions were done by physicians, there could come a time when most abortions in this country are performed by people who aren't physicians, when the reality is that when it was illegal, they were performed by physicians. And the abortion industry is comfortable with that idea. They're totally comfortable with this idea.
So you see, the bottom line is they're really not concerned about the benefits of the woman. They're really concerned about just getting more abortions, the money end of it. Because, even now, when you talk about an abortion doctor, people might say, oh, well, he must have specialized in gynecology and obstetrics, but that's not the case.
No.
You could be a podiatrist and do abortions.
We a few years ago discovered, and there was nothing illegal about it, we just had to come across it in another project that we were doing, a guy that was a psychiatrist. But a psychiatrist has an MD, so he qualifies.
Qualifies.
And the Supreme Court had ruled that you cannot require a specialty in abortion in order to do abortions. So he was a psychiatrist. I think he lived in the Washington, D.C. area, and he was a circuit rider. He traveled to Mississippi and Alabama and Florida doing abortions. And, most people have this idea that abortions today are done by OBGYNs, when in reality, very small percentage of these guys that work at these freestanding clinics are OBGYNs.
And the other thing, too, before we take our break, I'll point out it's so deceptive when they talk about abortion training in the medical schools. They're not talking about learning the technique, because the technique, These doctors already know the technique.
It's a DNC.
It's a DNC technique.
Right.
What the medical training for abortion is really trying to accomplish is to desensitize their conscience to an action that they know full well is killing a living human being.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, too, that you bring that up, because one thing, when you bring this up to them, they'll say, oh, well, they need to be trained in abortion so they can treat the complications. Mm. Well, there's two problems with that argument. First off, anytime we mention complications,
they say there aren't any.
Their response is, oh, no, it's the safest thing you can do. It's no more dangerous than cutting your fingernails.
Right.
You know, and then, but then when they need it, they start saying, well, they, you know, there are complications and these guys need to be able to train to treat them. Well, first off, teaching them how to do abortion doesn't teach you how to treat the complications.
It teaches you how to create the complications.
Right, exactly. But here's the other thing. The argument is so laughable if you think about it. It's like saying, if to say that I need to learn how to do abortions so I know how to treat the complications, it's like saying I need to go out and shoot somebody so I can learn how to treat the complications of gunshot wounds.
Right.
I mean, it's preposterous to make this argument, but they do it.
It is.
Because they don't have anything else to base their arguments on. So they have to come up with these loopy, illogical, irrational justifications for what they do.
And it's par for the course for these people, as you
Absolutely.
Well know.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back, friends, with Mark Crutcher of Life Dynamics. Please stay with us.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back to Gospel of Life. We're talking about the big problem that the abortion industry has in recruiting abortionists and they whine and complain about it, and there's also a reason behind this that we in the pro-life movement can utilize for the purpose of protecting life. And, Mark, let's talk about that a little bit because, as you've already said, it's the stigma that is attached to abortion, just like a stigma attached to prostitution, and would be there if, well, no matter how much you want to legalize it. The fact of the matter is that with all their money, political influence, media access, the abortion industry has never been able to take the stigma out of abortion.
And they never will.
They never will.
It'll never happen. Again, the analogy that we talked about earlier, the prostitution or pornography. I mean, pornography in this country is perfectly legal. I mean, if you don't think so, go on the Internet and you'll see some of the most vile things that you can possibly imagine. And it's perfectly legal.
Yeah.
And yet, there's not a young lady in the world that would come home and say, want to tell her parents, oh, here, Mom, Dad, here's my new fiancé. I want you to meet him. He's a world famous pornographer. You know, nobody wants to do that. That stigma is never going to go away. It's never going to go away off of abortion.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is to make sure, because the abortion industry is trying to take the stigma off. And y'all remember a couple of years ago, they did this, I had an abortion T-shirt,
right,
which failed miserably. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that somewhere there's warehouses full of those T-shirts
exactly.
that they never sold. But that was part of this concept that they need to remove the stigma. I'm sure they thought if we can get a bunch of women around the country walking through airports and showing up at school wearing I had an abortion T-shirt, it'll help take off the stigma.
And of course, they want to counter campaigns exactly. like you're doing.
I regret my abortion.
Which, of course, portrays and is another way of accenting the stigma there, because
right.
the women themselves have gone through it are saying,
right.
"Oh, this
Never
was a
again.
Dead end.
Never again.
Again.
That's
right.
Right.
Not when I do this again." And so, what we need to do in the pro-life movement is to constantly be in, and what I believe is to constantly be in the medical community, reinforcing that stigma. And,
yes.
of course, as you know, we've had great success of that in the past with direct mail, where we send direct mail to physicians. And basically, the direct mail is designed to educate them about abortion, because people have this mistaken idea that doctors, because they're doctors, know all about abortion. The reality is they don't. It's amazing what practicing physicians that don't do abortions don't know about it. And so we need to educate them. And at the same time, the mailings need to be crafted in such a way that they reinforce the stigma so that that never goes away. And we can thwart the efforts of the abortion industry to go into these medical schools and to go into the medical community at large and try to recruit abortionists. Mm-hmm. That is within our power. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing the abortion industry can do to stop it.
Right.
When we go out there and we market the stigma of abortion, the abortion industry is totally powerless to come back and say, oh no, abortionists are the noble crusaders of the medical community. They can't do that because no one would believe them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sell that argument.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that we need to remember is not to be swayed by the abortion industry's argument, which we constantly hear, that the reason they can't recruit anybody is because of the violence in the pro-life movement. That's nonsense. For one thing, the amount of violence that's happened in 34 years of the pro-life movement is negligible. This is by far the most peaceful, the most nonviolent socio-political movement of its size and tenure of any in the history of the world. So that's nonsense. But I mentioned earlier that they're having this same problem with recruiting in England, and that proves the point that it's not violence, because no one is suggesting, even in England, that the English pro-life movement, which is minimal at best. I mean, there's just not really that well an organized or aggressive pro-life movement in England at all. But what there is there has never been accused of even remotely being violent, mm-hmm. and yet the English medical community is not producing abortionists at about the same rate that the American medical community is not producing abortionists. So this argument that it's because of violence is being exposed right now by what's happening in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course, the push for RU486 and other chemical methods of abortion really is also driven by this need to recruit abortionists. Because they figure, well, you know, if someone's not going to go in there and be willing to dismember the baby by hand, maybe they'll at least be willing to administer a drug. And they found that hasn't worked the way they hoped it would either, because, again, the stigma is attached to the killing.
Right.
And if someone feels that stigma of being a killer, well, then the method of killing is not going to dissuade
them. Right. I've heard this argument before, that was the goal behind RU46. But in my view, there's other goals. And that's a whole other show.
Exactly.
But the reality is that the difference between killing a baby with a DNC, a normal DNC where you rip the baby apart and pull it out, or killing it with the chemicals is the same as the difference between murdering somebody with a gun and murdering them with poison.
Right.
You're still murdering them, and the person that's committing the murder still knows that. Yes, the poison or the RU46, which is the parallel, they may be more tidy. You don't have a dismembered bloody body laying before you once you're done, but the killer still knows he's a killer.
Yeah, exactly. And the Silent No More Awareness campaign is also bringing in even former abortionists now who have referred for abortions.
Yeah, we've had doctors contact us that next time we have an event, they want their own signs that say, I regret performing abortions, I regret referring for abortions. I mean, more and more of them are coming forward and realizing that they're part and they're regretting it.
Well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Always good to be with all of you. Thanks, brothers and sisters, for joining us on this program. And again, remember the booklet Access, which you can obtain from us at Gospel of Life or from Life Dynamics. Go to prolifeamerica.com, and that, by the way, is the website that will lead you to both of our organizations and our ministries, as well as other affiliated ministries as well, prolifeamerica.com. Now stay with us on Gospel of Life. You'll learn ways that you can support our ministry, and you'll learn other action steps that you and your friends and your churches can take to build a culture of life in America. Stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome to our action segment. And Janet, today we're going to talk about using some very powerful tools to convince people of how devastating abortion is.
Well, as you know, Father, I co-founded the Silent More Awareness Campaign, where the women and men who've experienced abortion speak publicly about their abortions, and they've written their testimonies. Now, we have those testimonies. I think it's the largest collection of post-abortion testimonies on our website. We have them in written form. We have audio and video clips. Now, in giving their testimonies, you know, the men and women that do this, one of their hopes is that people will use their testimonies to help maybe to stop another girl from going down that road to have an abortion, to help maybe another person who's in denial to come to healing, and then finally to help convert people who somehow think abortion is okay for women.
So these testimonies that have been gathered and posted on our website, as you just said, are available for anyone to use in the pro-life cause. They don't even have to ask our permission to copy those texts or to email links to those files. These women who and men who have given these testimonies have already given us full permission.
The permission's already been granted by the virtue of the fact that we have it posted up there. But now I want people to think creatively. You know, these people have had the courage to share their stories. But now how can you use their stories to help? Okay, first of all, in letters to the editor, you can quote them.
Right.
You know, in students that are doing papers, you know, very often you're defending the case that abortion is wrong because it hurts people. You know, it kills the baby. But why not bring in another aspect why abortion is wrong? It's damaging men and women and families. And you can quote from these testimonies.
It's so powerful to bring in the testimony in that instance, because now We're not just making an assertion. We're quoting someone's experience, and it's very, very difficult for even pro-abortion people to contradict a woman's experience with this.
That's right. Well, like we said, you know, experience trumps rhetoric. It's very often to talk about abortion rhetoric, you know, but it's the people who've experienced who are really going to help. Then in addition, when you have your pro-life discussions, you know, read enough of these testimonies that you can jot down some quick facts so that if you're in a discussion with someone, you can say, well, what do you know about abortion? What do you know about people's experiences? And then you can start quoting, you know, that these men and women have experienced after their abortion, abusing drugs, alcohol, becoming promiscuous, having multiple abortions. You know, you've got to take those testimonies and boil down the facts and be able to talk about them to help convert people.
Yes. Now, many people who are involved in the pro-life movement do lobbying at one point or another, where they're talking to lawmakers. Using these testimonies in those circumstances can be very useful as well. Let's say, for example, a law on informed consent is being considered. Well, showing the testimony of somebody who says that she had grief and regret precisely because she didn't have the informed consent will be a persuasive factor in those efforts.
Yeah, as you read through the testimonies, you'll see that so many of those women had said, if I had only known what I know now, I would never have had the abortion. So many of those women were told it's just a blob of tissue. And you know what's the craziest thing? That in this society now, where we have 4D ultrasound, women are still being told, oh, you're so early on right now. You know, it's just you're barely pregnant, as they put it. It's just really a clump of cells. Clump of cells is the other term they like to use. So again, you can really cut through all these myths by quoting those testimonies.
And pastors to quote these testimonies in their sermons. What a marvelous way to bring their people to not only a deeper appreciation of how harmful abortion is, but to a deeper compassion for these men and women who have lost children.
That's right. You know, and then also, if you know someone who's had an abortion, who's gone through healing, and they want to share their testimony, encourage them to contact us at the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, because we constantly want to add to those testimonies and also make them available to as people who might want to speak in a church. You know, nothing is more powerful, and we know this from the women who've done it, is to come to into a church if the minister gives permission and give that testimony in this pulpit.
Yes. Well, thanks, Janet. And brothers and sisters, you can provide links from your own websites to the pages where we have these testimonies. You can download and email those testimonies. Use them in any and every way you can to get out the truth that abortion harms women, harms families, harms our entire society, harms us all. But also use those testimonies to proclaim the mercy and the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what shines through amidst all the despair, amidst all the damage. The healing power of our Lord shines through. Let's use these testimonies always.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life. Because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are Silent No More.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.